listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Browns, every Sunday at 11 a.m. to catch Inside the Cleveland Browns, hosted by Sarah Carnes and Dustin Fox, followed by the all-new Dog Pound Report at 11:30, hosted by myself and Andy Baskin. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble will be making appearances on the Dog Pound Report this week. And Speaking of that, we've got Wilhelm in studio. We've also got the Gribbs in studio. Gribbs, how you doing, man?
Doing great. What's going on, guys?
I'm good.
Hold on one second, Gribbs. Let me turn your mic on here.
Our mic.
Go
ahead, there you
Gribbs.
Go. Come back again.
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Gribbs. That was a great repeat right there.
It's on. It's on. His mic is on. It's on.
Am I on now?
You are on.
Take three. That worked.
Hey,
all right. Awesome.
Hey, there he is. The Gribbs. All right, the Gribbs. What do you think of the signing of Rob Hausler?
You know, I like it. I think it makes sense. You know, what the reports are out there that it's a one-year deal, so it's kind of a prove-it kind of deal, and I think that is something I think he's willing to take on as a challenge. You know, he's talked about being in an offense that utilizes him a little more. I think we talked to Josh Weinfuss yesterday with ESPN, who
strong
covers the Cardinals.
Weinfuss drop right there.
I name drop when I can.
Yeah,
but, you know, he was clearly in an offense that wasn't really using him all that much, and I think it was maybe a happy separation between him and the Cardinals. He was ready to move on. They were ready to look elsewhere as well. But, you know, he comes into a tight end room that really only had two guys, and that was two players who fit that Y spot in the DeFilippo offense, which is more blocking than pass catching. And he's clearly a guy who's going to catch passes down the field. And you like the speed he has, the top combine speed of a tight end back in 2011. He still is confident he has that speed at this point of his career. So it makes a lot of sense. I don't think it completely eliminates a need for a tight end in the draft, but I do think it lessens the likelihood of maybe pressing early in the draft for a Max Williams. Now it gives you maybe the luxury to stick with your board and not try to draft for need.
And also, too, I mean, the one thing that's a key factor for me is the one-year deal, which means we're going to get Rob Hausler wanting to prove himself and be the guy so that he can set himself up for the next 3-5 years and get that big deal, hopefully that, you know, that third deal, which will be his big deal with some guaranteed money. But also, too, we're getting him for 1 year on a prove-it deal. He's going to play his best. He chose us over other places, which meant it's a great fit for him. And also, too, we're getting at a significant discount of what it would have been to retain Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, and he was on the market for a while, but he talked to me downstairs a little bit about how he's very deliberate in what he was wanting to find and kind of the fit. And this is why his process maybe took a little bit longer than some people might have expected. So, you know, I think the fact is that he wanted to come be a part of this offense. He liked he said that this team has momentum. He likes what Pettine is building. I think he clicked right away with John DeFilippo with the offense, and kind of, you know, it's hard for Flip to really show him what exactly he's going to do because he's the first year offense coordinator at the NFL level, but he gave him a good enough idea to where he's going to be used a lot differently here than he was in Arizona.
And he chose the Browns over, he said, both the Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. So for those people who say nobody would choose the Browns, Rob Hausler says, I'm choosing the Browns. One of the articles you've written that has gotten a lot of attention is about the uniforms and the changes to the Browns uniforms, chronicling every change since 1946. And there were a lot, which I think would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of small tweaks here and there. It still is kind of this timeless classic uniform and really hasn't deviated from the norm. But I think people are under the impression that, you know, the uniform just hasn't been touched over these years. And it got a little occasionally weird at times in the 80s. You know, they mixed things up, brought in the orange pants in the 1970s, and then went back away from those. So it's a lot of tweaks here and there. We've even seen some small tweaks here and there during the new era of the Browns. I mean, you remember just a couple years ago, the brown out against the Buffalo Bills. That was,
sure.
And you'd think that at some point that would have happened before, but it really never did. But they've done it a few times since then. So, you know, it's not as radical as some of the changes that some teams have gone through. It's certainly not even as radical as what the Jaguars have done in their small, their limited existence so far as an NFL franchise. So, no, I think it's good to just see it broken down year by year where, you know, this has kind of been an ever-evolving thing with this franchise, but it's maintained kind of the classic look.
Have you made your trip out to Oregon already?
Yes, but I've not seen the new uniforms.
Oh, you've not seen the new uniforms. Okay, no, I just meant, more so than anything, it wasn't so much about the uniforms themselves, but I just meant, like, Nike and the job that they do and the role that they play in creating new uniforms, because Nike is now, in my eyes, they're edgier. You know, you look at the Pro Bowl uniforms. Sure. And I think that's the template, you know, having my expectations of what these uniforms are going to look like. You're going to take, you know, the classic uniforms that you've documented on ClevelandBrowns.com, with the pizzazz that Nike's now putting into the new uniforms, the Bucks, which didn't really go over well in my eyes, the Jaguars, or the funky new helmets, but also just looking at the apparel and the shoes that Nike's now putting out for players to kind of...
You're a shoe man.
I am a shoe man, and it's like, and I like what Nike's doing. I just think that intermingled with, you know, what the Browns' classic approach to these uniforms is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, no, and I think we're all kind of on pins and needles here waiting for Tuesday.
I am.
Just because, you know, there's been such a buildup, mostly because, you know, this is a process that takes a long time. You know, there's so many people that are involved, you know, NFL, Nike, and obviously the Browns laying out what they want from all kind of coming together for this reveal. But I think we're just kind of all looking forward to Tuesday, and just...
Dante Whitner's Twitter helped, you know, fuel the fire as well. You know,
oh, he loved them,
absolutely loved them, the combos and everything.
No, we've heard from players briefly who are, again, not sharing many details about them because they've been sworn to secrecy. But I think it's safe to say they like them.
These uniforms are going to be, they are going to live up to the hype. For everyone who is disappointed with the logo, they will be as disappointed as they were with the logo changes, or underwhelmed, they will be overwhelmed with the uniforms. I can say that as a person who is a jersey aficionado, as it were. I have many jerseys, many, 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 and love jerseys. And I'll tell you what, these are going to be as good as it gets in the National Football League. Gribbs, anything else people need to be checking out at ClevelandBrowns.com?
Well, it's been a busy day. You know, with the kind of the Rob Hausler news, we're still following the draft. We're going position by position. You know, I had a thing written up about Max Williams ready to go today. You're going to have to make some tweaks to that.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
You know,
I think just in terms of where he maybe stands on the radar, I think it's something to think about. You think, like I've said, you don't eliminate the need for a tight end. I think you need to get younger in that room, maybe build for the future and let those guys compete and see who the best three or four guys are going to be moving forward. But I think it eliminates kind of the glaring need that you maybe saw 24 hours ago at the position.
So you have one of the profiles you've done so far. I've done Amari Cooper, Lyle Collins, Max Williams. I got a tweet from somebody, Brandon Leeser, about Collins saying that he's heard Cleveland thinks he could play center if need be. Was that something that you had heard? That's not something I had heard.
That's not something I'd heard as well. I think that the key thing with him is he's already done two different positions at the collegiate level, maybe three if I'm wrong, but played left tackle, played some guard as well, and played some right, and clearly projects as a right tackle at the NFL. So I think he's good for potentially four of the five. I've not heard the center part, but that, because that's such a, I mean, that's such a unique position.
That's why
that's what makes Cam Irving
the
unique.
Only guy you should draft in the first round on the offensive line if you're the Browns. My opinion. We'll find out if anybody
like
else.
Like I said, I'm a little more open to it, and Collins is a guy that does intrigue me because I think his draft projection kind of ranges all over the place. We talked to, was it Josh Norris yesterday? He had him ranked like sixth overall on his big board. I mean, he was a big fan of Al Collins, but there's
just went today and has him going 25.
Right. It's all those offensive linemen. It seems like outside of, what is it, Scherf from Iowa?
He's the only one that seems consistent,
like,
top 10.
Right. It's all over the map with those guys. And that makes me think that I don't want to say there's going to be a run on offensive line in the bottom half of the draft, but I think the bottom half of the first round is going to be just a very offensive line filled portion of the draft. And whether or not the Browns are involved, we'll just have to see. We know how you think. I think I'm more on the fence.
You're more on the fence than I am. That's
for sure.
I'm adamant about this.
Yeah, I'm open to it, and I understand the philosophy on why you would go offensive line at that position. But I clearly understand where you're coming from in terms of the Michael Bowie factor and the fact that, you know, Mitchell Schwartz has been a very consistent offensive lineman, and you maybe have the rare opportunity to bring back the exact starting five offensive lineman that you did last year.
You certainly have that opportunity, and I'm looking right now. And Lyle Collins goes 23rd overall to Detroit in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft. Got to give a shout out to my guy Beatbox. Just texted me. He's like, yes, you have many, 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 many jerseys. It's his first day back since he had twins. So congrats to Beatbox and his lovely wife Leslie on their twins. And also, Beatbox went to Duke. Duke won the national championship. So congrats to you, Beatbox.
Good week.
On a big week. Beatbox, get your party hat on. I want some Hurricane Beatbox ready when I come to Chicago on the Wednesday night before the draft. So get fired up, mon frere. Wilhelm, you're coming out that night.
Am I?
Yes.
What's the plan?
You're going to go out with like me and some of my buddies from Chicago.
Okay. It'll be great. Wilhelm will have two drinks and you'll put him in a cab.
Wilhelm doesn't drink anymore. Did you have a drink, a drop of alcohol?
I had a glass of wine.
And that was your first in like 6 weeks?
Three.
What the
hell
is wrong with you?
I don't know. Get you some!
Get you some!
All right, when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll also check in on Mel Kiper's mock draft. Fact or fiction still to come at the bottom of the hour. We got lots to do here in the second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.